Big thanks to Steve Weiss jumping on with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. If you missed that conversation, it'll be available on the Odyssey app. Or you can just rewind a little bit on YouTube. If you're not subscribed to the Team 980 YouTube channel, go ahead and do that. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in. You can tweet me at the Denton Day. We spent a lot of conversation, a lot of time on the Terry McLaurin contract. We will get back to that, but there are other players on the team and other players that I am excited about entering the year 2025. Like most of you, the player that I'm most excited about is the guy that wears number 5 on his chest, Jaden Daniels. He did a couple of interviews yesterday. There were a lot of national people at practice yesterday. There were some ESPN people. I know the Barstool guys.
The National Sports Podcast.
Yeah. Were out there. They were doing Grit Week. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, they were doing Grit Week out there. I saw that they had posted the Baltimore stuff today. Mm-hmm. So I guess Washington is going tomorrow.
I thought they finished
at Baltimore, though. I don't know.
No, so they do Monday, Wednesday, Friday show releases. They were at Ravens camp at the beginning of the week. Yesterday they were at Commanders camp. And now today they're in Philly at Eagles camp. So, and they mentioned on the podcast today that I was listening to that they talked to Von Miller as well. So that interview will probably be coming
Jaden
out next week.
And Von. So we are getting Jaden Daniels content from the Barstool guys.
I'm almost certain that they sat down with, because they sat down with Caleb last year. Why wouldn't they sit down with Jaden this year?
Right, right. So that will be fun to see, and we will discuss that when that does release. I thought they did Baltimore second because I'd seen something on Twitter about them taking batting practice at the Orioles ballpark.
That was
yesterday. They're definitely not doing that here. At Nats Park. So anyway, we will get to that. But there was an analyst on ESPN, a guy we're very familiar with, Louis Riddick, who was asked on the Get Up show. I think it's Get Up. I think he was on Get Up.
It's usually Get Up.
He was on Get Up, and he was asked about Jaden Daniels in 2024 and potential, or 2025. And listen to what he said about Jaden in 2025.
Jaden Daniels, the sophomore season. Mm-hmm. If I said he's going to be the MVP of the league this year, would you tell me that was ridiculous?
No, I would tell you that could very, very well happen. There's a good shot that may happen. This guy is unique. Now, we talk about unicorns all the time. This guy is a unicorn in terms of his football character, how mature he is. I watched him the other day have a media session, and I'm sitting there going, has this guy played in the league 4 or 5 years? He's the unquestioned leader. He's one of the best leaders probably this football team has had in, what, 2 decades?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is without a doubt the head of the snake there, and I don't see him taking a step back at all. Don't mess it up with Terry McLaurin. Get his guy in there to a contract, not just in the building. Get him signed to a contract.
Listen to
All right, so Louis Riddick wants Terry to get signed. All of us agree. And he thinks it's not crazy that Jaden could be MVP in 2025. So I have been very hesitant, Max, to really jump into the pool of Jaden for MVP. And there's a couple of different reasons for that. First and foremost, there's a lot of players in the league. And Lamar played out of his mind last year. He didn't win it. Josh Allen played out of his mind. He did win it, right? Jared Goff had a great season to start, and he was not even in the conversation at the end of it. This is a very, very long, long season, right? I'm cautious because at the beginning of last year, really this time last year, one of the favorites for MVP was C.J. Stroud. And C.J. Stroud's season in 2024 was not nearly as productive as it was in 2023. Now, did C.J. Stroud take a massive step back? I don't really think so. They still made it to the playoffs. They still won the division. They still got to the set. Like they did. They got to literally every single place that they did the year before. His numbers, he just turned the ball over a little bit more.
So I got a little nugget. Because I just quickly Googled, I was like, what were C.J. Stroud's preseason MVP odds in 2024? It was plus 850. Do you want to know who is currently plus 850 to win MVP and will probably be the most bet to win MVP? Jaden Daniels.
Yep. The correlation between the two of them is, as a gambler,
mm-hmm.
you realize more than anything trends. You focus on numbers.
Absolutely.
You look at trends. The trending with Jaden and C.J. Stroud is very difficult to miss. Now, certain sports books are going to price this differently. I happen to work for the BetMGM Network, so I tend to use their sports book, and that is where Jaden is plus 850. If you can shop that around, maybe you can find it at 9-1. there might be some books that have that at plus 7 or just plus 8 on the money, right? Not plus 850. So shop around for deals if you are willing to jump into this market. But I'm hesitant because there are so many similarities. And I just, when it comes to putting your money down, you just got to be a little cautious about that. Now, I'm also self-aware enough to realize I just think that Jaden was better than CJ Stroud was when you compare the two rookie years.
And another thing on all of that is, what did CJ Stroud do after his first season? He went on a little bit of like a media tour with Micah Parsons. They were rubbing elbows, doing the podcast thing.
Media tour. They were in France, I think, together. Yep. Which Jaden did go to France this offseason, so that's like a not the greatest example. But they were doing fashion shows.
Exactly.
They were everywhere. They were doing other people's podcasts together. And so far as I know, outside of the Barstool thing,
which was Jaden, at the Commander's facility,
which was them coming to him. And I can't imagine they were with him very long.
No, it'd probably be like 30 minutes, probably, 45 minutes at most.
Honestly, I don't even think it was that. So if I...
Yeah, good chance.
What he did with Kevin Clark yesterday on ESPN, which we pulled some sound about Dan Quinn talking about Jaden. Jaden was on with Kevin Clark. I watched it yesterday. It was fine. It was not like a ton, but it was fine. That was a stand-up. You're not standing up for 30 minutes. That's like a That's like a five-minute max thing, and I think he was with Kevin Clark for 4.5 minutes. I would imagine that Jaden is with Barstool for longer than that, but it's not like, unless they had a set out there, it's not like they had a bunch of chairs there to sit there and talk for 30 minutes the way that they do at certain other establishments. So that could have also been like a 6 to 8 minute thing. If you're a rampant Barstool listener, which I'm not like a stoolie by any sense of the word. I do like Grit Week just because it's... I think players give the Barstool guys a little bit more.
Yeah, they're a little bit more comfortable.
Traditional media. The Barstool guys do a really good job of opening the personality up, which Jaden just in general, like I thought Chick Hernandez had a really good interview, a really good sit down with him last week. Like Chick did a really good job, but Jaden just feels a little bit more comfortable. I mean, even the SportsCenter thing where he's hyping up the crowd of like, Terry, like when he's doing all that, there is a comfortability to it. So I think he'll probably do a little bit with the Barstool. But you're right, he's not doing this massive tour.
Yeah.
Like CJ, and to his credit, if you have the season that CJ did, you are entitled to go do all of the things. Like, embrace being an NFL football player. I'm not going to take anything away from a guy that decides to embrace being an NFL football player. And because from the looks of it, CJ Stroud kept the main thing the main thing. Again, like the issues that he had in 2024 were very much the offensive line was all over the place.
Oh, absolutely.
A little alarming because his left tackle now plays here, but that's, you know, we're not going to get into that. That's not here nor there. That unit as a whole had exceeded its ceiling. Like it had hit it. We're done. We're not going further. We need to make some adjustments. Their whole coaching staff was a mess in there as well. Remember, Bobby Slowick was supposed to be Kid Wonder, and he was very much not. He had had coaching opportunities, decided to come back to Houston to be an OC again, and that didn't work. So, like, there were a lot of things outside of just CJ Stroud not playing as well statistically that went into his step back last year. I anticipate that some of those issues are not going to be here. There might be a few things that make their way here, like the offensive line has seemingly a little bit of work to do in the early portions of training camp, but I'm not going to watch one padded practice in July and make a declaration about how good or bad the offensive line is going to be in 2025. Training camp is training camp for a reason. It's about getting better. It is about establishing continuity with one another and a chemistry with one another. You're kind of supposed to look bad now. And I'd much prefer you look bad now than look bad when the season starts. So I feel pretty okay about the offensive line. I think the talent itself is pretty good. And once they decide who is going to be starting where, which I don't think they have done yet, which is another thing that is going to be important. What do you do with Connerly? Is he going to be your right tackle? Are you going to start Wiley at right tackle? Wiley is not the long-term right tackle, but I thought he was at the very least passable for a majority of the year last year. Connerly, of course, you're hoping is the guy that is going to be a stalwart at that position, at least while Laremy Tunsil is here, and then maybe Connerly switches over to left. Like, there's a bunch of stuff there, right? But once you get the actual, all right, here's who's going to be playing what position for the offensive line, you'll be a little bit better. So I do think Washington has set themselves up to be more successful than C.J. Stroud was with Houston last year, meaning that Jaden Daniels could be more successful statistically than C.J. Stroud was in year number two. But then this is where the personal thing gets into it, Max. And here's the personal bit. I hate betting on my team. We have in the gambling world what is called a happiness hedge,
mm-hmm.
which is where you will sometimes bet against your team. And I didn't do that a lot last year. In fact, I think I did it maybe once.
I think I did it more with the Caps than I did the Commanders.
Right. You do that more with the Caps, more with the Nationals. I didn't do it a lot with Washington last year because they started winning a bunch. And I was like, I don't need the money that much. I'd just rather them win.
Right.
But you do a happiness hedge, or in this instance, you just don't bet on your favorite player to win MVP. I did that a bunch with Juan Soto when he was here, and you will know that Juan Soto never won an MVP.
When he was my here. Rookie of the year bet, though, baby.
Hey, there you go. See, hey. You were ahead of the game with that. I didn't bet him to win Rookie of the Year. So I'm a little cautious of betting Jaden to win MVP, especially knowing that the schedule is going to be more difficult. And for all intents and purposes, they are correct when Washington was not crazy smitten by the injury bug last year. Brian Robinson missed some time. Biadasz missed some time. It's not that there weren't injuries. There very much were. Noah Brown was not eligible for a majority of the second half of the season due to the internal organ situation going on there. So Jaden did lose out on a number of different guys. So to say that Washington didn't have any injuries would not be the case. There was just no injuries to the most important players in 2024, but the most important player outside of Jaden is currently not practicing right now because of the contract standoff between him and the team. And as we cycle back to the Terry thing, I thought it was interesting what Steve Wyche said about the contract, and it's the guarantees that he thinks are holding up. Now, this is not like a report. He was not reporting that. He said this is his gut feel. He says that I feel like it is the guarantees that are holding this up from being a completed deal. My entire argument yesterday was take care of your player with guarantees, not the AAV. The AAV is a pride thing with athletes. The guarantees are what you should really care about. Like when we see these big contract numbers and you say it's X amount of years for X amount of dollars, that dollar number is going to be sky high, but it's the guarantees that are really what you should be looking at. Because once the guarantees run out, you do the holdout, I want a new contract thing all over again. So if it's the guarantees that are holding up this contract with Terry McLaurin, if he wants significantly more guaranteed than DK Metcalf, that would be something that I'm open to. Because you can still hit that AAV at a lower rate with that guaranteed money, and you have set yourself up as a team to have a good amount of cap space now. Like right now, they have $21 million. Of open cap space that you could very much utilize a lot of that in a first year guarantee for Terry. You're going to have a lot of guarantee or a contract or cap space up next year as well. And then after next year, that cap space is theoretically going to take a major hit because that is when the Jaden contract is going to come about. So that is a thing of itself. But I think the guarantees are, if that is what's holding this up, that would lead me to believe, Max, that things are maybe a little bit closer than people have been telling us. Because I don't feel like you can be that far off on the guarantees.
I would hope. But at the same time, when you look at the guarantee breakdown, like after CeeDee Lamb had 67 guaranteed, DK's got 60. So in theory, if that was the issue and he wanted, quote unquote, significantly more than DK Metcalf in guarantees, what would you probably... I feel like I would smack dab in the middle at that, probably around 64 and a half, 65.
64 and a half. So if they take let's just say it's a 4 year at 28 per year, which is around, quick math here, I think it's around 107, something like that. Yeah. 28 times four, it's 112. So that's about 112.
We were close.
On the totals, but then you guarantee half of that, or a little over than half of that, which would give you to that number at $63.5 million, $64 million. You sign that immediately.
Yep.
If you're Terry, you put pen to pad immediately. You tell your agent, fly your ass back here, drive your ass back here. I don't know where his agent lives.
Send me the DocuSign.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what his mode of transportation is, but get your ass back here if you're not here, and then we're going to go in and we're going to sign this thing together. So I'm optimistic that we are going to see that Terry contract very, very soon. We will take your phone calls, not on Terry. We've taken enough of those. I want your calls on Jaden. Are you comfortable wagering that Jaden is going to win MVP in 2025, or are you like me, a little more cautious and saying, I'm not going to bet that my quarterback is going to win MVP. I'm not going to do it. I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious. I'm pulling my Michael Scott card. I'm not superstitious. I'm a little stitious. I don't like to bet my own players to win MVP. Where do you stand on the Jaden Daniels winning MVP in 2025? Your phone calls at 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. You can tweet me as well at the Denton Day. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980.